This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we're going to be finishing up with Grieg's Piano Concerto. We'll listen to the second and third movements. We talked yesterday about the fact that Grieg was educated in Germany, and he looked to the music of Robert Schumann for inspiration. He traveled widely. He actually wrote this concerto while vacationing in Denmark. But he was also tied indelibly to his homeland of Norway, and much of his music reflects that. Norway had had a rough few decades before Grieg was born. It had long been a territory of Denmark, ruled from Copenhagen, but the Danish had allied themselves with Napoleon. When he lost, so did Denmark, and they ended up losing Norway to Sweden as part of the ensuing treaty. As you might imagine, the Norwegians weren't super happy about being passed around like that, and they decided that they would go and form their own country. Grieg's grandfather was actually a member of the new Norwegian parliament. He was an advisor to the new king of Norway. But Sweden wasn't prepared to give up their newly gotten land without a fight, and war broke out. Norway was finally forced to enter into a union with Sweden. And technically, this meant that the two were both independent countries that just shared a king and some other trappings. Norway did still have its own parliament and administration, but issues like foreign relations were almost entirely controlled by Sweden. And the king was a Swedish king. The seat of power was in Stockholm. And many in Sweden viewed Norway as a spoil of war, not an equal, independent country. Now, we've talked about nationalism a lot in this podcast, but I wanted to get a bit more into why there was such an explosion of nationalism in the second half of the 19th century. For centuries, the great powers of Europe had fought against themselves, often winning, then losing, then winning back various territories. As you can imagine, this wasn't great for the territories involved, but that was how things went. Powerful kings conquered, less powerful rulers were conquered, and the regular people didn't have a ton of say in the matter. The Enlightenment in the French Revolution brought a new perspective, along with the ideals of democracy and self-determination. Suddenly, the monarchies didn't look so all-powerful, and having the people govern looked like a real possibility. Rather than a monarch to keep everything together, people started shifting their focus to a sense of collective identity. Language, music, literature, and other aspects of culture took on a much greater significance because they became the glue that bound nations together. And once you have a national identity, why be controlled by people living hundreds of miles away? So the Norwegian music of Grieg, for example, became a symbol for the idea of Norway as a nation and as a separate, independent, self-governing country. One other thing to keep in mind when you're listening, especially to the second movement, is that Grieg preferred to write music much smaller in scope than some of his romantic counterparts. He never wrote a symphony. This is the only concerto he wrote. He didn't write operas. Chamber music, solo piano, maybe some orchestral sketches, that's the kind of thing that he stuck to. And it comes through in the gentle second movement, which only has a few moments of anything approaching the big drama of the first. The third movement shows Grieg's Norwegian roots, with rhythms based off traditional folk dances. The dissonance Grieg's plays with are often heard on the Hardanger fiddle, which is the Norwegian variant of the violin that would have been playing those folk dances. Grieg would eventually see Norway break free of Sweden in 1905, long after he had cemented his legacy as Norway's premier national composer. Rami Barniv and the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra, led by Noam Sharif, with the second and third movements of Grieg's Piano Concerto. And right there, we're back to the dramatic flourish that we started off with, the timpani and the big minor mood. Thanks to the Jerusalem Symphony for putting that up on museopen.org. And thank you for listening. If you have the chance, please rate and review this podcast wherever it is that you're getting it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and next week, we're going to be listening to Brahms' First Symphony, another big piece, along with Beethoven's 14th Piano Sonata, and we'll start things off with a trip to Spain with Chabrier and Sarasate. I'll see you then.